how long the reach of not the law, but judges have in our lives. Because then it will inspire you or it will motivate you to want to pay attention to it and say, you know what, I have a stake in this. I have a stake in this, right? I have a stake in determining who is going to sit on that bench. I can influence who can sit on this bench. And if you look at a lot of the rights that are being rolled back, this thing has started in 2016. Weeks after Roe v. Wade, they started the process of rolling back that. Literally, the ink was not dry on the Civil Rights Act when they went back into session and started determining how we're going to roll back rights. In America, victories that are won have to be held, especially for Black, Brown, and marginalized communities.
Yeah.
And that is a judicial question. It's not the sexy question, right? It's not the, you know, look, every 4 years we get riled up, no presidential election. Like, some of us get riled up, some of us is like, probably one of the most stressful times in our lives. We're back in the arena. But you don't have that type of energy when it comes to judges. Because they, again, they fly from the radar. You're not aware of them until they deprive you of your rights. And what we're seeing in this period in America is that there was a brief moment, a second reconstruction, where the judiciary was extending rights. Now we're seeing all of those rights that were extended being rolled back, right? And so we are seeing judges being appointed who are coming in with a very restrictive and originalist, whatever they want to call that doctrine, that looks not to expand rights, particularly to marginalized communities, but to roll those rights back and to entrench the rights of the majority or corporations. That's the moment that we're at. I tell people it's not necessarily a unique moment. If you study American history, you'll see 100 years ago, 140 years ago, this country was there. It's our generation's turn, unfortunately, to be impacted by this cycle in the United States. And judges are just one lever on those multiple levers that we have to go in and pull. And it's really unfortunate that this is something that not every 4 years, practically every 2 years, but every day, this is something that we have to be aware of. It's something that we have to fight for. So on a personal level for me, that's, you know, I sat in a cell at the age of 16 years old facing the death sentence, right? That was the United States Supreme Court that said he could execute people that were 16 and older in this country. Years later, it rolled back and said you can't execute people under the age of 18. But it's just showing you that was my experience of like why judges matter. I think that as a public, we need some of that shock truth to get us to pay attention to how important these judicial elections are. And unfortunately, in this period that we're in, we're getting it.
Yeah, I thought there was something in the sentencing hearing that granted freedom to so many young people who were sentenced to death. Some people who didn't even, it was felony murder cases where they were not actually the person who pulled the trigger, so to speak, and their lives changed forever. But because of a court given a second chance, and many of those rulings could easily go away.
Well,
just like that.
They moved it back already.
Yeah.
Like, so the decision that resulted in me being released, 2012 decision, Miller v. Alabama was rolled back in 2020 in the Jones decision. So literally, that was an 8-year window. Whoever got out, you squeezed out. But they shut that door. And that's what I was talking about, victory won, have to be held. Unfortunately, it's just not for, and this is where we have to realize that judges are just not a criminal justice or a legal issue. This is dealing with women's rights, it's dealing with LGBT rights, it's dealing with union rights, it's dealing with healthcare rights, it's dealing with education rights. You know, folks have to realize that it ain't just impacting folks who are being caught up in the legal system. You know, your rights are also being impacted by these judges. They're rolling down by the
system. Well, people can take your property, you know? And what's that conversation? And so, you know, know, Celine sort of touched on this, Lena, this whole, the fact that, you know, rights achieved or rights received must be held. And, you know, I've read so many articles about Roe versus Wade and how folks who were against abortion rights immediately got to work and had been working for decades to get to a place where, you know, abortion could be overturned. And so I want you to talk about some of the work that you're doing, because we know for many years, you know, from the civil rights era, previous times, throughout history in this country, how important fair federal courts are. Talk about your approach, because, and your organization's approach to ensuring that there are federal courts, because the work has to be done. It can't just be start today. It has to be decades upon decades, because folks
the Leadership Conference has been around for more than 70 years now and has really worked together to bring together an absolutely incredible coalition. As Celine even mentioned, whether it's unions, women's rights and organizations, healthcare organizations, environmental justice organizations, racial justice organizations, and so many others, to come to get organizations that you're probably more familiar with than even the Leadership Conference, whether that's NAACP, Planned Parenthood, the Sierra Club, and so many others. We have the real benefit of working with state partners like CADITA, as well as the White Horse Matter Pennsylvania folks, the New Pennsylvania Project, and others, because we know our power is different than the other side. Our power is authentic. It looks like a thriving multiracial democracy that we're going to continue to fight for. But our coalition, for over the past seven decades, has fought for the passage of the Civil Rights Act, the passage of the Voting Rights Act, the continued protection of marriage equality, the protection of disability rights in the Americans with Disability Act, and so much more. But we have always been focused on the courts, because we know you can pass a good bill, but it's only good if it stays intact. And we've already talked about the ways in which so many for decades have really worked because of the progress, as we said, of the civil rights community, because of Brown versus Board of Education, because of Roe versus Wade. There was a real concentration of power to protect the corporate, wealthy, and white supremacist interests. And it does a literally in a roadmap, in a memo, that says we're going to capture lifetime judges. That's easy. They're going to do some other things, infiltrate academia, media, discredit, and other things that we see now. But the judiciary itself was a main tool to roll back the progress we have made. And as just constantly mentioned, the progress made, we have to continue to protect. And it's, even that is not enough. We need to advance it. More communities need to be liberated. More people do. So the Leadership Conference has been paying attention to this for many, many decades. But as mentioned and alluded to earlier, our vision for the court still hasn't been realized. But we finally have an administration that is harkening back to what I think the Carter administration, President Carter himself, really started to prioritize, is to say, fair and neutral does not equal white and male when it comes to our judges. We need to see more people who are women, people of color, people who have historically and intentionally been minimized by our judicial system and our other government institutions, people who have different experience. Somebody like, at the time, Ruth Bader Ginsburg, getting nominated for the D.C. Circuit, which put her in position to eventually get on the Supreme Court, but also other civil rights icons, people who've been working on behalf of voting rights throughout the country, onto these district courts and circuit courts. This administration, more than any other, as Terry mentioned, has appointed 140 new lifetime judges, 67% of which are people of color. And we can break it down. It is absolutely tremendous. President Biden also fulfilled his promise, which many in our community made him do, to nominate and confirm the first Black woman Supreme Court Justice, Justice Ketanji Brown Jackson, who brings not only her life experience, having been living as a Black woman, but also as a public defender, experience that has never before been on our nation's highest court, which is incredibly important. and really changing literally the face of the judiciary, but also making sure that diversity is also reflected in professional experience, whether that is because people have, like Jennifer Sun, who's now confirmed to the Ninth Circuit, a career dedicated to protecting unions, union rights, and working people. People like here in the Third Circuit, now Judge Cindy Chung, who worked for the Department of Justice in overseeing the civil rights laws, such as the first one to bring any case on the Shepherd the Hate Crimes Act. Also was very, very instrumental in the Tree of Life hate crime that happened on the other side of the Commonwealth as well. People with that experience of enforcing our civil rights laws, as well as other public defenders here in our state, have been absolutely critical. So we have been fighting for this for decades, but we don't, as I think really mentioned, we don't take any of this for granted. We have to keep fighting because it is so, so, so important. I think what we're seeing with some of these Supreme Court decisions, whether that's the dangerous and cruel decisions around affirmative action, LGBTQ equality, abortion rights, and the other threats that continue to emerge, that we can continue to pass legislation to help remedy that, but we need to be making sure we have good, fair-minded folks who are on the bench who have this different life and professional experience to help really understand the real world impact of these laws and also know the accurate history as to why these laws and why our Constitution is what it is.
And I want you to talk about this too, Selene, because we talk about diversity, and I want to mention some of the wins of the Biden administration again. So many women have turned. I think it's what, 67% of the 140 judges confirmed during the Biden administration women. We compare to the number of women confirmed during the Trump administration, 21%. Those numbers are very different. But there's more than just gender diversity, and Lena touched on this, there's more than just racial diversity, because there's many layers to choosing a judge that would have reflective experiences. Can you dig into that a little bit? Talk about why this multi-layered diversity is so important.
We just don't believe in the criminal justice system or the judicial system itself. They feel as though they're not represented. They haven't seen themselves on these various benches. If you look at these pictures behind today, you've seen pictures of the rallies that we held for Ketanji Brown Jackson. To be able to say that we have a United States Supreme Court justice with the name, I have a name like Katina. That means something to me. I feel represented. I feel seen. Some of these pictures you see behind are of little girls in black robes who were in front of the United States Supreme Court with their black robes on because now they see and now they can believe that they too can hold these positions. And so I can't express to you how much a black woman sitting on the Supreme Court meant to me, my family, and so many people that care about all of us. Invited by leadership conference and other organizations, they say, why do you do this work? And I would say, I don't want my mom to leave this earth without her seeing a black woman on the Supreme Court. And I can say that my mom got to witness a black woman confirmed to the United States Supreme Court.
And that was a promise that was made by the administration, and it was a promise that
I appreciate that. And so when we talk about the various diversity that needs to be on the bench, it is gender diversity is important. There are studies that say that male judges pay more attention to cases involving civil rights when they're on a panel with women judges. There is also something to be said about professional diversity. Not everybody needs to come from corporate America. not everybody needs to go to Yale and Harvard. So it's really important
or
that there's diversity in profession and experience. There's also, racial diversity, which we mentioned. And so I think it's a really big opportunity for us to expand on that. Ruth Bader Ginsburg, the notorious RBG, would ask the question, how many women on the bench would be enough, right? The judicial system. If you believe that
the judiciary is colorblind and fair, and that we are having fair-minded jurists sit on those benches, then you need to see yourself represented on that bench for you to truly believe that. And it's just, it's important to, I look across the room, it's a beautiful looking room here, so give yourself a shout out here today. It looks like America. I love to see a room that looks like America. And, you know, it is really important for everyone to see themselves. Selena and I were at a conference in New York not too long ago, and one of the sisters there from Georgia, she had mentioned, you know, the courts don't all need to be male, pale, and stale. Right? We can have some diversity and bring different perspectives to the benches so that we can all feel as though justice is working for all of us.
And trust in the courts. I mean, I always think if people lose trust in the courts, our system could easily fall apart. Easily, if we don't believe that courts are actually there. So I want to talk to you, Selim, about being in court, seeing a judge, and knowing that this person has some shared experience, maybe has seen some of the things that maybe you have seen. How does that impact you know, a community's ability to accept decisions that are handed down, to feel like the courts are in fact there?
Yeah, I mean, some of the work that we're doing, you're mentioning that, you know, judicial elections are coming up in Philadelphia, and part of our role in evaluating and endorsing judges is what is their experience, and not their Ivy League experience. You know, not